If a beneficiary receives a disposition, either under the will or under the rules of intestacy, he or she is under no legal obligation to accept the bequest, and as such may disclaim the gift. If a bequest is relinquished by way of a formal disclaimer, the asset thereafter passes to the person entitled to the residue of the estate, i.e., the residuary legatee. If a gift of residue is disclaimed, it divests under the rules of intestacy. A disclaimer cannot be made if the original beneficiary has already received some benefit from the property being disclaimed. For example, if an individual is left shares under a will and has received some dividend income on those shares, no formal disclaimer can be made in respect of that property. If a beneficiary does not wish to accept a gift, but instead wishes the property to pass to a nominated person, this can be achieved by using a deed of variation. As you will see, this differs from a disclaimer in that the person making the variation will stipulate the new recipient within the deed. Only persons relinquishing an interest in an estate may make a variation. In practice, deeds of variation are more common than disclaimers. Certain conditions must be satisfied for a valid disclaimer or deed of variation to be made. Firstly, it must be in writing. Usually it is made in the form of a deed, although this is not strictly necessary. It must be signed by the person making the variation or disclaimer. The instrument must be signed no later than 2 years from the date of death. The executors or personal representatives must consent to the variation if it results in more inheritance tax becoming payable. This would be the case, for example, if an exempt beneficiary, such as a spouse or charity, gave up their right to an asset and that property thereafter passed to a chargeable beneficiary. The executors can refuse to give consent if there are insufficient assets left within the estate to cover the additional inheritance tax. If additional inheritance tax is payable, the variation must be sent to the revenue within 6 months of it being made.
We now need to consider the tax effects of a deed of variation. Mr. X died on the 1st of January 2010. In his will, he left a house by specific gift to a chargeable beneficiary, who we shall call Miss Y. Miss Y decided that she did not want to accept the gift, and instead entered into a deed of variation. For the deed to be valid, it must be signed within 2 years of Mr. X's death, i.e. by the 1st of January 2012.
Under the variation, Miss Y directed that the property should pass to a new beneficiary, Mr. Z. The effect of the variation is that Miss Y has given away a house to Mr. Z. If a beneficiary gives up an interest in a property by way of a disclaimer or variation, this is treated as a transfer of value for inheritance tax purposes. In this instance, as the new recipient is another individual, the gift by Miss Y is a potentially exempt transfer. Similarly, this gift by Miss Y is treated as a disposal by her for CGT purposes. As with all gifts, sales proceeds are equal to the market value of the asset at the date of the gift. Miss Y's base cost will be the value of the asset at the date of Mr. X's death, i.e. the probate value. A gain will only arise, therefore, if the house has increased in value between the date of death and the date when Miss Y made the variation. Therefore, if variations are made within a short period after the date of death, there is unlikely to be a substantial CGT liability. The fact that Miss Y has made a potentially exempt transfer at the date of the variation is a more significant problem, because if Miss Y dies within 7 years of the gift to Mr. Z, the pet will become chargeable and tax will be payable by the donee. This problem can be alleviated by including a statement in the variation under Section 142 of the Inheritance Tax Act of 1984. This statement is that the variation has effect under that section. If Miss Y includes a Section 142 statement, the effect of the statement is to disregard the transfer of value made on the deed of variation. Going back to our previous example, Mr. X died, leaving a property in his will to Miss Y. Miss Y thereafter made a deed of variation, such that the property passed to Mr. Z. Normally, this would be a transfer of value for IHT purposes, but if Miss Y includes a Section 142 statement in the variation, we may disregard the transfer of value. Therefore, if Miss Y includes the statement under Section 142, she will not be deemed to have made a potentially exempt transfer. If the Section 142 statement is included, the property is deemed to have been transferred by the deceased directly to Mr. Z. Effectively, including a Section 142 statement in the variation rewrites the will for inheritance tax purposes. For IHT, the variation has the effect of pretending that in his will, Mr. X left the property directly to Mr. Z. The availability of variations where statements are included under Section 142 means that the window of opportunity for IHT planning does not necessarily shut on the death of a taxpayer. By sensible use of variations, beneficiaries can effectively change the will after death to possibly save inheritance tax and, in some circumstances, CGT.
Next, we will consider the effects of consideration when making Section 142 elections. Under Section 142, subsection 3, a variation will be ineffective for IHT purposes if it is made for money or money's worth. Therefore, if a person, Mr. A, agrees to enter into a deed of variation in favour of another person, Mr. B, no Section 142 election can be made if Mr. B makes a payment, either by cash or other monetary means, to Mr. A in return for the variation. For example, assume Fred dies, leaving his antique vase worth £50,000 to his sister Janice. The residue of the estate was left to his wife, Ruth, and his children in equal shares. Ruth regarded the vase as something of a family heirloom and agreed to buy it back from Janice for £50,000. Janice duly entered into a deed of variation under which the vase passed to Ruth. Ruth duly paid Janice £50,000 in return. In this instance, it is not possible for Janice to make a statement that Section 142 is to apply because the variation was made for money or money's worth. Therefore, the variation does not rewrite Fred's will. The transfer of the vase in Fred's will is not, therefore, deemed to have been made to Ruth and does not, therefore, qualify for the spouse exemption. Assuming that the amount paid by Ruth to Janice for the vase is a fair reflection of its market value at the date of transfer, there is no loss to Janice's estate and, therefore, no pet. However, Section 142, subsection 3, goes on to say that consideration in this instance does not include making a variation or disclaimer to which this subsection applies. Therefore, if two beneficiaries of an estate wish to swap assets by means of variations in favour of each other, there is no consideration. Section 142 elections can, therefore, be made. For example, Owen died leaving a house worth £500,000 to his son, Jason, and the residue of the estate to his wife, Eileen. The residue included Owen's shares in Fairfield Builders Limited, an unlisted building company in which Owen and Jason worked. As the shares are wholly covered by BPR, the spouse exemption is wasted. Therefore, Jason and Eileen decide to swap assets such that the house passes to Eileen in return for the shares in Fairfield Builders Limited, which pass to Jason. Both Eileen and Jason make variations to this effect. In both cases, Section 142 elections can be made to accompany the variations, as there is no consideration deemed to have been paid. Section 142 therefore rewrites the will for IHT purposes. The gift of the shares to Jason is covered by BPR, and the gift of the house to Eileen is covered by the spouse exemption.
Remember that under normal circumstances, a variation by the donor is a disposal at market value for CGT purposes, and could leave the donor with a CGT liability. This can be alleviated by including a statement under Section 62 of TCGA 1992. Section 62 works in a similar way to Section 142 for inheritance tax, in that it disregards the disposal at the date of the variation. Again, going back to the previous example of Mr. X and Miss Y, Miss Y gives up a property which in turn passes to Mr. Z. This would normally be a disposal at market value by Miss Y at the date of the variation. However, if Miss Y includes a statement in the variation under Section 62, we can disregard the gift for CGT purposes. Therefore, by including a Section 62 statement, the CGT effect of the disposal to Mr. Z can be ignored. Instead, for CGT purposes, Mr. Z is deemed to have acquired the assets directly from Mr. X under the terms of the will. Once again, the effect of including the statement is to rewrite the will for tax purposes. For capital gains tax purposes, Mr. Z is deemed to have acquired the asset at the date of death, with a base cost equal to the asset's probate value. Note that including statements under Section 142 or Section 62 are not mandatory. For example, it may be in Mr. Z's interest for Miss Y not to include a CGT statement. If no statement is included, Mr. Z acquires the asset with a base cost equal to its value at the date of the variation. Miss Y will have a corresponding capital gain. However, in many instances, Miss Y's capital gain will be small and may be covered by her annual exemption. If this is the case, it will be worth Miss Y not including a statement under Section 62 and leaving Mr. Z with a slightly higher base cost. Post-death planning using variations used to be particularly useful where the deceased has left his entire estate to his surviving spouse. For example, if a husband left his entire estate to his wife, the whole of the transfer of value is exempt and there is no inheritance tax. This assumes that the recipient spouse is domiciled in the UK. While having no IHT to pay seems like sensible tax planning, the effect of drafting a will in this way was to waste the nil band and to leave the surviving spouse with a substantial estate, the whole of which will be charged to IHT when she dies. To alleviate this problem, the wife would enter into a deed of variation so as to leave an amount equal to the nil band to chargeable beneficiaries, for example, her children. On making the variation, the wife would include a statement for IHT under Section 142 so that the gift to the children is deemed to have been made by the deceased. The effect of the variation was to increase the chargeable estate from zero to the value of the nil band at the date of death. Assuming the deceased made no lifetime transfers, the chargeable estate was fully covered by the nil band and no tax was payable. What has been achieved here is to remove an amount equal to the nil band from the estate of the surviving spouse for IHT purposes. Therefore, when the wife dies, a much smaller amount would be charged to inheritance tax. The introduction of the transferable nil rate band has made the need for a deed of variation redundant in many cases. There will, however, still be circumstances when the use of a variation will be useful. For example, assume Mrs. X dies in 2010 and leaves her estate to her husband. Mr. X's estate will benefit from the transfer of Mrs. X's nil rate band on his eventual death. Suppose Mr. X subsequently marries Miss Y in 2011. Mr. X then dies in 2012, leaving his entire estate to Miss Y. This will be fully exempt. However, only one nil rate band will be transferred to Miss Y. The amount originally transferred to Mr. X from his first wife will be wasted. In order to avoid this, Mr. X needs to have left part of his estate to chargeable beneficiaries. This could be done by a deed of variation within 2 years of the death of his first wife. Deeds of variation can also be useful to make sure full relief is obtained for business property. Assume Mr. A dies, leaving a specific legacy of cash to his son and the residue of his estate to his wife. The residue included shares in Mr. A's unlisted trading company. In this instance, the spouse exemption will be wasted, as the IHT value of the shares will be wholly covered by 100% BPR anyway. It would have been better from a planning perspective to have left the non-business property to the wife
this transfer is covered by the spouse exemption, and the business property to the son. This is covered by 100% BPR. Leaving business or agricultural property to an exempt beneficiary will waste relief. This can be solved by using a deed of variation, under which the wife gives her shares to the son and the son gives a corresponding amount of cash to the wife. Both variations will be accompanied by a Section 142 election to make them IHT effective. As discussed earlier, this swap of assets is not deemed to take place for monetary consideration. So, Section 142 elections can be made. Deeds of variation are often made so as to pass assets into trust. Assume Mr. B dies, leaving a legacy to his wife, Mrs. B. Mrs. B enters into a deed of variation, under which the legacy passes to her children. However, as the children are young, Mrs. B does not wish them to have immediate access to the legacy, so instead she varies the will in favour of a trust for the children's benefit. If an election is made under Section 142 IHTA 1984, the settlor of the trust is deemed to be the deceased, i.e. Mr. B. Mr. B is treated as creating a trust for his children on his death. This is important for the purposes of calculating exit and principal charges, as we shall see when we look at IHT on trusts. As the settlor for IHT is Mr. B, even if Mrs. B is a beneficiary of the trust, this is not treated as a gift with reservation of benefit, so no part of the trust will be charged in Mrs. B's death estate. In practice, it is common to make the surviving spouse a beneficiary of the trust, so as to ensure that she has adequate funds at her disposal to maintain her standard of living after the death of her husband. Any arrangements of this kind should only be entered into after careful consideration of the financial circumstances of the person making the variation. However, one problem with this sort of arrangement is that for income tax purposes, the settlor of the trust is treated as being the person making the variation. In this case, this would be the wife. Therefore, if the wife is a beneficiary of the trust, any trust income will be taxed in the hands of the wife rather than in the trust. We shall explore this point in more detail in the trusts section of your course.
To complete this discussion of deeds of variation, it is worth mentioning a small provision contained in Section 143 IHTA 1984. This short section is entitled Compliance with Testator's Request. In this example, let us assume that a testator leaves a gift in his will to a beneficiary. In his will, the testator, Mr. A, expresses a wish that Mr. B should leave his gift to a nominated charity. Even though the testator's wish is not legally binding, Mr. B complies with the testator's request and duly leaves his gift to the nominated charity. If he does this within 2 years of death, the provisions of Section 143 take effect. In this instance, for IHT purposes, the gift to the charity is treated as having been made by Mr. A in his will. The legacy will therefore be exempt from inheritance tax, and any IHT previously paid on the transfer to Mr. B will become repayable. In these circumstances, no formal deed of variation or elections under Section 142 are necessary. Of course, it is down to Mr. B's conscience whether he does indeed comply with Mr. A's request in giving the property to the charity. If he decides to keep the property, IHT is payable by the executors in the normal way. As we have mentioned, the effect of Section 143 is to ignore the gift from Mr. A to Mr. B, and instead pretend that the gift to charity had been made by Mr. A in his will. However, Section 143 applies for IHT purposes only. For income tax purposes, the gift to charity is treated as having been made by Mr. B. Therefore, if the gift is a gift of cash, Mr. B can make a gift aid declaration and obtain tax relief on the donation via an extension to his basic rate band. If the gift is of quoted shares, the value of the shares can be treated as a charge on income in Mr. B's income tax computation. If a will leaves a gift directly to a charity, it is not possible for a gift aid declaration to be made. However, by using Section 143, it is possible to obtain an IHT exemption and income tax relief at the same time.